listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
That's right. I'm RJ live on a big Monday, live from Las Vegas on 200 FSR stations across this great nation. Wow. Four big NFL games. We're going to be breaking down each and every one of them and looking ahead, just a little look ahead on Monday to next week. What's the lines and such? Joined in studio, pros who know, Full House, Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. And let me tell you, man, there's been some dumb takes out there today on radio, almost enough to make your head hurt. But this isn't the case at all with this fellow. You can't have pros without Joes. Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we've got not one, not two, but four NFL playoff games to recap, what is the Vegas lead on a Monday?
I got to tell you something. This rarely happens, Jonas, is I was going to lead with one of the games, and then I got a memo. I don't want to say from who. They said, if you want to stay in the Sports Talk Club, and remember, that's the club at the Super Bowl. You get to eat shrimp, get to talk politics with Clay Travis, that kind of stuff. Who wouldn't want to be there? So I've got to start with the Cowboys hire.
Yeah, that's right. And Mike McCarthy was named the brand new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, as reported by Jay Glazer of Fox Sports earlier today.
Yes, and that was a nice get for Jay. And I probably have a different opinion than most on this. And it really is premised upon what do we know? Meaning, we hear a lot of guys on talk radio talk a lot about football. And I always ask myself, the non-players, you know, former players, the non-coaches, former coaches, let's put that universe together, which is almost everyone, right? There's a few former players now, but on the opinion shows, not as much. Right. There used to be you always needed a guy in the booth, you know, John Madden and Summerall. Right. So you've got in that case, you got, you know, you had two people that knew their stuff. But these days, it seems like that there's been so many kind of meathead type former players. Let's be candid in media at different times that we've kind of rebelled against it. And now it's a lot of people like a Nick Wright. And I consider Nick to be extremely bright. He's a bright fellow. And I thought about three of his takes today were about as dumb as I've ever heard. And not because I know I'm right, because I know what I don't know. So to some degree, I don't really know what McCarthy's going to do with this team. I just know that here's a guy that's won a good bit in the NFL. So the idea that that's somehow bad because he's a retread. You know, you hear retread. Well, Belichick was a retread, right? Off a horrible, you know, relative performance with the Browns. So, you know, 5 years. It wasn't like he got fired in a year. It was 5 years with the Browns. One playoff appearance for Belichick. So, to me, I'm going to stick to what I feel that I'd be willing to bet. And you know, we can talk about, you know, some, or specifically the one Nick Wright take I so disagreed with. But with McCarthy, and let me ask you, Jonas, if you look at the Packers offense this year, it's not any better than last year.
No, it's not. People are being intoxicated by the record, and they're not actually paying attention to what they're watching. And if you're watching this Packer team, I actually think the passing offense has regressed. The running offense is better, no doubt, but passing-wise, I think they've completely regressed.
And I think it's dangerous for even what I just said to say, well, doesn't the head coach supposed to affect the defense? Yes. And how much of it is what LaFleur did with them, and how much of it was they hit on, you know, Fezzik's famous Smith brothers, and I don't know. And you know what else I know? That Buffalo maybe could have made the Super Bowl if they had won against Houston. It wasn't all that different than when Philadelphia 3 years ago on their Super Bowl run were in the opponent Atlanta was inside the 10-yard line, lasted 2 minutes left, and were over 60% chance Atlanta was to win that game. How different would we be thinking about the Eagles if they had lost in the first round 3 years ago, or in the division round, but they had a bye, and then what happened the next two, let's say, just happened exactly the same? Man, we'd be talking about, you know, borderline, should he maybe be replaced, right?
Yeah.
But instead, they Julio Jones doesn't make the catch. They go on and win a Super Bowl. Nick Foles gets a big contract. Here we are. The NFL is not like sports like the NBA, where there's no one game that's going to decide it. No one half of football is going to decide it. And it's in the NBA, the better team wins a seven-game series a vast majority of the time. In the NFL, the better team wins more than half the time. I don't even think it moves to 65 or 70%. So there's a lot of luck when you have to win three or four games. And that's why what you see Belichick has done in the Patriots is the perfect example of that. The idea that they could have won almost every Super Bowl they lost. In fact, every one they lost, they could have easily won. And they could have lost almost every one that they won. Maybe you can pick some exceptions out to Carolina one, but man, there was, I mean, you tell me, what name the Super Bowl that the Pats were in that you couldn't envision that game going the other way.
There was none. They've all been close.
Imagine if they were 9-0. Or imagine if they were 0-9.
Right.
I mean, so it's not like the Bills when they went 0-4 and they got, you know, obviously the Giants game could have went either way in that run of four. But those Cowboy games couldn't have, right? They were domination. You don't see any team ever dominate. And maybe the last one was the Bears in 85, but I'll have to think about it, that won every game in the playoffs convincingly. Can you think of one?
85 Bears. Yeah, I think that's the only one that I got.
And there might be one other one in there because I don't remember every Cowboys of those, you know, dominating teams. But let's just say this century, in the more recent memory, I can't think of one. Fez, can you think of one in which since 2000 on that the team won three or potentially four playoff games handedly where it's like you can't see how they could have lost that game?
The only thing that comes to mind is the second Denver Bronco team, I think, would fairly easily coast it.
And the other one is the Ravens from 2000. Their closest game was the AFC title game when they beat the Raiders by 13.
Okay. And remember, though, did the century start in 2000 or 2001? We don't want to bring that debate back up, Jonah. But I guess the game would have been in 2001 either way. So to me, the fact that we're saying there might be two or three in the last 20 years, I think really speaks to that there's a lot of luck in this. And I think some teams, you know, and I think Colin Cowherd does an interesting thing when he says, all right, here's my eight teams or whatever the number is that I think could win it. And to me, of the teams that could win it, I think the Saints certainly would be on my list right now. If somehow there was a redraw and the Saints got back into it, like a rebuy in a poker tournament, yeah, it'd be $100 million or something, but to get back in. Fez, would you think, oh, no way the Saints could, no way could they win the Super Bowl?
Oh, I still have the Saints as my number one team in the NFC. Of course they could win the Super Bowl.
So, this is I think we're burying the lead here. So you're saying that after reevaluating for what happened yesterday, which, you know, you regrade or do an adjustment to your power ratings, in the NFC right now, the list is
Yeah, the Saints number one, just ahead of the 49ers, Vikings number three.
Okay, that's interesting. So if there's any statement, Jonas, that speaks to the idea that we simply don't, we react to results, and that is such the thing to do generally, because if all you react to is what's in your head, it's a constant debate, and that's something I think that happened with Andrew Luck. I can't believe that more people defend that Andrew Luck wasn't a disappointment. It was like if the day of the draft, if Andrew Luck, right when he was picked number one, if you had sat down with a buddy, Jonas, and said, you know something? I am a pessimist on Andrew Luck. I am selling. I just don't think he's going to be this good. What would have been the framework of like if you would have made a bet? If you would have said he's never going to make a Super Bowl, never, and his amount of, and he's going to retire at a time when it was his discretion to retire.
Out of the league in under 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. Out of the league by his own choice. He gives up. I know, oh my God, he said he gave up. No, he did. What else could you say? He quit playing by choice. And I'm not saying it was a wrong choice. Who am I to say, right? It's like some people, they hit the lottery and they decide to work harder. Some people decide they want to retire. That's all everyone's choice. But as a football player, if you choose not to play, it's hard to say you're a heck of a football player. And especially if you haven't delivered on your promise yet. And I'm not saying Andrew Luck wasn't a top five or seven quarterback, but the idea that he didn't underperform is absurd. But if you ask Colin Cowherd, and I do every chance I get when we do our different things, is I'll say, Andrew Luck, you know, was a bust, borderline. It's like, oh, no, he didn't have the right offensive line. Oh, he didn't have the right GM. Oh, and it's like over a decade.
Well, I mean, look at it this way. I'd go to another number one pick. Who's closer to a Hall of Famer, or who's had closer to a Hall of Fame career, Cam Newton or Andrew Luck? The answer is Cam Newton.
It's an interesting point, actually, which kind of makes me shudder a little bit, right? Because I'm not a huge fan of either.
Went to a Super Bowl, won an MVP.
I mean, if you were doing it on the back of a baseball or a football card, no doubt. That's a great, great concept. So why am I stressing this? RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. It's because if we don't trust the results in the short term, which I don't, meaning within range. I think teams are usually going to, like the Bengals were not a good team this year, right? What's the plus or minus? I think once a team makes a Super Bowl, it's almost every one of them could win three games in a row, all right? Once they make the playoffs, they could win three games in a row. So to me, maybe if a team is playing the first weekend and they're on the road and they're like a 9-7, you could say that team, you know, unlikely, very unlikely. But I even think back to the Ravens when they won it recently, the most recent time. They entered the playoffs 25-1, right? And remember that Denver game with the Flacco, long, you know, the almost a Hail Mary, you know, he got behind him?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the same playoffs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, tell me when that ball was in the air, how good were the Ravens? Not yet. They were a playoff team. But one play, one lucky play, and they win a Super Bowl.
Well, if you were to rank the best team and the worst team in this playoffs, would you go Baltimore 1 and say, like, who would be the worst team of all the teams that qualified for the playoffs?
You know, that's a fascinating question. I think Baltimore 1 is unequivocal. I would say this, the distance from Baltimore to the number two team is about as big as I've seen in a while. So, Fez, I know you don't have every single one of your power ratings for the last 10 years in front of you, but just typically, well, right now, what's the distance between Baltimore and the number two team?
Well, it's only a point and a half, RJ, because I've got Kansas City power rated through the moon. But those two teams have huge separation. Baltimore is 4.5 points above New Orleans from a number three team.
All right, so this is fascinating. The number three team isn't one of the final eight teams, right? New Orleans out. and you've got Kansas City close to Baltimore, I think you might be a little high on him. Though let's give Fez credit. He led the way in the national media talking about Kansas City being as good, if not better, than they were when they were 4-0. And no one thought that. His case was so logical. It was unimpeachable. And everyone that heard it said, oh, okay. And here we are. We're seeing it. All right, so I agree with you generally. Who do you got number four, and what's the distance between the Ravens and number four?
Yeah, San Francisco, number four, 5 points worse than Baltimore.
All right, so that's fascinating. So right now we're saying the likely Super Bowl matchup has the AFC favored by, you know, upwards of 5 points. By the way, just a quick thought, we might want to make a bet as we're speaking. What's the AFC-NFC generic Super Bowl line right now?
It's still minus three, RJ, and we're on the same page. I'm going to bet that tonight.
Oh, tonight? I think you're doing the same Brad Powers mistake. Yeah, I don't know if you realize this, Fez. We're not just talking amongst ourselves right here, right? 200 stations, a couple hundred thousand people listening. We might want to do that during the commercial. What do you think, Jonas?
Yeah, I think so. Some things you got to keep in the holster.
You know, actually,
and it may be too late here, RJ. I just pulled up one site, and it's up to minus four.
It happened that quick?
No, I didn't check it this morning.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. When we come back, I'm going to finish up our take on McCarthy and how I think our inability to really assess the results in the short term applies to my, I guess, critique of this hire for the Cowboys. And we're going to get into Tom Brady and all the crazy takes about the Patriots.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
As discussed earlier, Mike McCarthy is the brand new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Jay Glazer was the first to report for Fox Sports that McCarthy was the hire there in Dallas. So they go from Jason Garrett, reportedly, and according to Adam Schefter, Mike McCarthy had a sleepover at Jerry Jones's place, and then they decided that Mike McCarthy was the guy after the sleepover. So there's a lot that we can do with that story and that detail to the story, but nonetheless, Mike McCarthy, the brand new head coach in Dallas.
So you like the sleepover story?
I just think it's a nice sprinkle on top.
You know, the funny thing is that a friend of mine, actually a good friend of mine, Don Van Natta, who is a great writer for ESPN. He's won three Pulitzer Prizes. So whenever we take a picture, it's like three Pulitzer Prizes between us, you know, 3-0. And Fez was in a picture once, and it was two Super Contests, three Pulitzers, and me.
Hey.
So, yeah. So, you know, you got to hang around with people that are elite. But Don wrote a famous article about Jerry Jones. I think it's been 3 years now. And he spent weeks and weeks with Jerry Jones and, you know, just hanging out with him. And it's just funny how many rooms do you think Jones's house has?
I'm envisioning it's like, you remember that movie The Toy with Richard Pryor?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
I'm envisioning it's that, and it's this giant mansion with rooms everywhere, security system, there's a Wonder Wheel and an insane toy room. I just like one of those big palaces. It seems like a Jerry move.
Exactly. So everyone's thinking like McCarthy's on the couch. He's just, you know, he's a little too big for the couch, but okay. Jerry brings out a blanket, but he's got on like his silk pajamas. And it's like, hey, if you need anything, you don't be afraid to wake me up. And, you know, we don't have any bottled water, but, you know, that tap's okay. Come on. Right. But to me, it goes to show you with those old school guys like Jerry Jones, Southern guys, there's a personal element to this. And back to this reoccurring theme of just the crazy, mind-numbingly dumb takes I heard today. This idea, and again, I mean, this is going to sound like what Colin said, so I'll just say, yeah, this is what Colin said, and I disagree with him. This idea that we need something new or clever, and then like one of the guys he put up was Nagy. Like, what certainty do we have that Matt Nagy is supposed to be or is going to be an elite coach.
He hasn't
been an elite coach yet.
No.
Right? So where is it? Like it feels like almost like we think we're in such a critical mode in this country because by definition, what are you going to talk about in theory on talk radio if it's not being critical? That's one of the things I love about Straight Out of Vegas is, one, we only have an hour. That means we don't have to have filler. And number two, we probably talk gambling half or if not more of the time. Thus, we don't have to then worry about filling up the other stuff with, let's do the fourth take on Matt Nagy this month or whatever. We don't do any of that. And to me, I'm proud of that because I would have trouble doing that other kind of show. And it doesn't mean that Colin's wrong. It means the certainty in which people believe what they seem to believe when they have no freaking idea about what's going on behind the scenes. And anyone that's ever been behind the scenes of anything will tell you whatever's reported on it is so far from the truth. Doesn't mean there's no truth in it, but it's not the total truth. And being a guy that's had, you know, very positive and at times negative articles written about me that were oftentimes reported on for an extended period, the amount of truth in those articles is laughably light. It's all about who they talk to. It's all about when they talk to them. And quite frankly, it's about the agenda of those writing the article. What do they want to write? Because you're going to see that. You're going to see more of that. A racist sees bad things in minorities. That's just natural for him. And someone who wants to write a bad article is going to do it. Someone who wants to write a good one is going to do it. Someone that wants to think McCarthy's too old school is going to think he is. They're going to ignore the Peter King stuff. They're going to ignore the fact that he won a Super Bowl. They're going to ignore the fact that the Packers are amongst the handful of teams, and I mean a handful, that's been consistent over the last 10 years. Now, you might say that's Aaron Rodgers. Okay, well, what about Tom Brady and Belichick? I don't know where the line is. What I know is this belief that Aaron Rodgers is better this year just isn't true. And we're going to talk at length about that tomorrow. We're going to finish our research and give you the exact numbers. I'm RJ Bo, straight out of Vegas. Let me ask you this, Brad Powers with us. You had a number about McCarthy's performance that speaks volumes.
Yeah, in the 13 years, RJ,
that McCarthy was the head coach of the Packers, 55% against the spread. Only guy better in that time period, Bill Belichick.
Now think about this. Think about this a second. The idea that during that period of time, it's not one game, it's not one playoffs, 10 years is going to be 160 games or more than 160, right? 160 before the playoffs. There's Belichick and McCarthy. That's it. And we're going to sit here and say, oh, it's a tired hire? I don't know. It could be, but Jerry Jones got rich for a reason, and he's not dumb. Does he know football as well as a GM? No. That's probably one of his big mistakes. But wouldn't we agree, if he wanted to bully someone, wasn't he going to maybe hire a guy that didn't have a Super Bowl ring? I'm not saying McCarthy's not a company guy. If anything, it might be the perfect hire. A guy with gravitas. He's got the bona fides. He walks in that locker room. No one's going to say, you don't know what you're talking about. He knows football. He's not a kid. But he also is the type to be a company man, meaning that if Jerry wants this, he's going to go along with it the best he can, and he'll pound his fist when he thinks it's really hurting him. Jerry needs that. Jerry had two of the best coaches in the history of football, Jimmy Johnson and Bill Parcells, and he ran both of them off. He's not getting anyone better than that. There's no coach available today. Who's the second best coach, Jonas? Andy Reid?
Probably Andy Reid.
Who's better, Jimmy Johnson or Andy Reid?
Jimmy Johnson.
Bill Parcells or Andy Reid?
Bill Parcells.
All right. So he's not getting it. Belichick's not going to Dallas, all right, unless he gives them 51% ownership of the team. So he couldn't get a coach as good as he had. And he ran those guys off because they didn't give him, Jerry Jones, his space or his control. So What's the best you're going to do? Jason Garrett that's only there because of the grace of Jerry Jones, which that hasn't worked, or an elite, or at least a far above average coach, a pedigreed coach. And again, he's the second best point spread record during that era. But a guy that knows who's the boss and it's not him, heck, that's mighty rare. And McCarthy might be the perfect fit for that.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. RJ, it was a stunner in Foxborough for some people. The Tennessee Titans go into New England and beat the Patriots in the wild card round of the playoffs on Saturday night, 20-13 the final.
No doubt. Line was in that 4.5-5 range, so a lot of respect paid to the Titans. They weren't expected to win the game. And Fez, you said it. In a pre-production meeting, I think the dynasty is over. Well, before the commercial, I identified that there was a four-year period between 08 and 12, January of each. The Patriots won zero playoff games. They've won zero playoff games now for 12 months. So it takes another 3 years before they're matching a streak that was right in the middle of the dynasty. Respond.
Well, the difference is that Brady simply cannot carry this team anymore. Even when the Patriots were losing those playoff games, Brady was a top five quarterback year after year. And this year, Brady, right in the middle for his year-long stats, RJ, in the last eight games, he was a well below average quarterback, turning 43 next year.
Okay, now I agree with you there, meaning I think Brady's hit a wall. It's not like he's bad. I mean, if you had to say right now, 1-32... Brady next year. So let's assume he has his natural aging as a guy who ages slowly. I think it's fair to say Brady. Where would you put him 1-32?
20.
All right. I think that's a fair number. So being the 20th best quarterback walking the earth is a hell of an accomplishment. Being the 20th best quarterback while you're 43 years old is unprecedented. But can the 20th best quarterback, Jonas, can they lead a team to the Super Bowl these days? I don't think so, especially when a team's been thinned out by having to pick in the 20s and 30s for so long. And quite frankly, missing on some draft choices. What I think everyone's getting wrong, or almost everyone, is, they're not giving Brady enough support. If you go back now a year and a half, 2 years, and look at where the resources have gone, the Sanu trade, the draft choices of Michelle, all the way to the number one pick this year. It was all Antonio Brown. It was all about getting Brady weapons. It's just no one's really hit the home run, none of those players, to be a true difference maker. So we'll talk more Pats tomorrow, but I agree with Fez. Brady's probably number 20 next year. But I think who's to say, though, the Stidham isn't really good. No one. How good was Jimmy G? Stidham has a better pedigree, or at least equal, right, to Jimmy G coming in. So
sure.
Jimmy G was a long shot, but there's a reason Belichick picked Stidham. I don't know, but I think it's fair to say the dynasty's over with Brady. I'm not sure the Pats dynasty is over, Jonas.
We will wait to see what happens there. Now, RJ, do you remember back in the day when Larry Bird participated in the three-point shootout in the NBA, and when he shot the final three and then just put his finger up in the air and walked out?
His follow-through was classic. And then he just kept his hand up there and lifted the finger.
Yeah, because the reason I bring that up is because on Friday, you did the same thing when you walked away from the basket after announcing it was the Vikings plus the 7.5 that was your best bet. And lo and behold, it took overtime, but Minnesota, a 26-20 outright win at New Orleans.
There's nothing better in sports betting. Nothing better in sports betting than getting over 7 points, or six, I guess, in overtime. You just sit back. You don't care what happens. It's like you really think, what would it be like to be so rich that nothing could hurt you? It's having more than 6 points on the dog in overtime. It felt mighty good. Now, listen, I was hoping you wouldn't bring this up. You didn't get the memo, but I'll have to address it. I think I'm the best. I do. I think in the NFL right now that I'm seeing it. Fez, I don't know. I know you might want to buck me on this, but is anyone seeing it better?
I'm not going to buck you because I bucked you a few times during – more than a few times, and it has left my wallet light as you keep winning bet after bet against me.
Wow, listen, that's a lot of luck because Fez is sharp. But what I'll say is this, guys. Sports betting keeps changing, and I think a lot of the old school guys, the duct tape on the shoe guys, they're in trouble. We've seen it. But some of these new guys, I don't think they're steeped in the past like they need to be, and they're making the mistake of the new guys. And to me, being in my late 40s, having done this all these years, and I don't – listen, we really don't brag. I mean, we'll have fun if we do something great, but I think we're seeing the NFL. I'm seeing the NFL – unlike anyone out there right now. And we're going to keep giving it all to you here free. So starting tomorrow, we're going to be looking ahead at the Big Four for next weekend.